Yeah, thank you all for coming. It's just great. It's such an awesome opportunity that we get every week, sometimes take for granted, to meet together just as sons and daughters of the Most High God and to worship Him together. And so it's just an honor and a privilege to get to meet with you all today and worship Him. We got to encourage one another with songs, to worship Him in song, to go to the Lord in prayer, together to lift one another up and to point each other towards God. And in this way, we could say that we are sharing our faith with one another. So when often we've been talking about, you know, as Todd mentioned, I've just been wondering I have some questions, and we've been trying as best we can to answer some of those questions, to focus on what did Jesus say about these questions and how do we walk these out in our lives. And so the question we've been wrestling with is, how do we share our faith? How do we do that? And one thing I think, so I feel like for the past, oh, how many years now? 5 years since God just grabbed a hold of me and threw me into missions, was like, go and start spreading the word. That this is something I've been wrestling with for 5 years, of like, how do we share our faith? And I feel like I'm nowhere near close to understanding just how we do this perfectly. There's no one way to share your faith. Everyone's different, and that's why God called each of us to share our faith, because we each have different circles of influence. We just each have different personalities and different ways that we can share our faith. Sharing our faith doesn't stop once we believe in Jesus. Like, we don't just share with someone and then they become a convert. They're like, okay, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I say the prayer and that's it. And then, okay, we leave them on their own and we go off and find someone else that doesn't know Jesus. Like, sharing our faith is a daily thing. We share our faith with Jesus, or with each other, our faith in Jesus with each other daily. It's something, that's something that's different. That's why Jesus didn't say, go and make converts, people that say the magic words and they're now saved. He said, go and make disciples, people who want to follow hard after Jesus, who are running after His heart like David did, wanting to be men and women after God's own heart, walking with Him every day. And so believers, disciples, need Jesus every day. So sharing, that's just one of many bunny trails for the day, that sharing our faith doesn't start or doesn't end with once someone accepts Jesus and believes in Him. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later and how Jesus showed that in Scripture. And then after that, the youth will share a bit of how that looks practically, how sharing our faith looked practically for them in City Challenge when we were in Columbus for 5 days and had a chance to reach out to people in the city there. And then we'll take a look at how Jesus shared His faith and how that influence then spread into Paul, and how he took that to serve others and to share his faith. So to start, something that I wrestle with is like, okay, so why everything that Jesus puts an emphasis on, or something that we do, why do we do that? I'm still stuck in that why stage that 2-year-olds have, never grew out of it. So that why I wrestle with, why is there such an emphasis? And there's so many answers to this, but one of the main, one thing that stood out to me, I think, is how it's sharing our faith has its part in fulfilling the law. Yeah, sharing our faith is a part of fulfilling the law. So in Matthew 22:36-40, a lot of the scribes and Pharisees, a lot of the Jews were trying to catch Jesus in His words, trying to prove that He wasn't the Son of God, that He wasn't who He said He was and had no authority, because they were comfortable in their authority and didn't like it being questioned by this guy who claimed to be a prophet, claimed to be a son of God. The mass in Matthew 22:36, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Thinking that there's no great commandment, they're all just as equal. So here I'm going to catch Jesus saying something that goes against Scripture. I'm going to trap him in his words here. But then Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So that right there would have stunned people, like, whoa, we thought he would kind of skirt around this question and say, well, they're all equal. But Jesus right out said there's one that's most important, love God. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if we think about that, every commandment falls under that love category. So committing adultery obviously is not loving to your neighbor. It's not loving to God, it's not loving to your neighbor. Worshiping other gods is not loving to God. So all of the law and commandments fall on this. If it's not loving to God or loving to people, it's breaking those commandments. And so in that, picking just those two commandments, Jesus didn't negate any of the other laws. He didn't throw them out. He just said, these are what it all comes down to, love God and love people. And so how does this get to sharing our faith? So sharing our faith is the most basic thing we can do to show love to others. So if we really believe what we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, like he said he was, that he came fully God, fully man. He came and lived the life on this earth, the perfect life that none of us can do. We're all born in iniquity, born in sin. But Jesus came and lived that perfect life and sacrificed it for us on the cross so that we could have a way home. God sent his own son so that we could have a way to spend eternity with him where there's no more crying, no more death, not just eternity with him with the same pain and suffering we have now, but eternity without pain and suffering, without tears, without death, without fear. It's all washed away. If we believe God made that way, and we also believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to God, that there's no other way to get to heaven. We can't just be a good person, earn our way, and make it home. That's why. Otherwise, why would Jesus have to die if there's other ways? Jesus says, he said, he's the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. If we believe that, and that people, if they don't know Jesus, don't believe him, and don't accept him as their Savior, that there's the penalty of eternal hell, eternal death, and crying, and fear. For eternity, the exact opposite of what Jesus came to give us. So if we really believe all that and believe that Jesus gave that gift free, we can't earn it. It's free that we, if we believe in Jesus and walk with him and have a relationship with him, we will get to be in heaven with him for eternity. If we really believe that, believe all those things, we would be the most selfish people on the face of the planet, the most unloving people, if we don't just simply share and show through our actions that love of Jesus and that free gift. It's that basic that we could do the most loving acts, but if we don't tell people about the truth that we can't see of that eternity in heaven or hell, to eternity with Jesus that he died to give us, that's pretty unloving. It's hard to love people truly if we don't move in that basic love of sharing Jesus. And sharing Jesus with people is not just in our words, as we'll look into later. Like Jesus showed that example through his actions, and we'll look at one example where he washed his disciples' feet. There's people every day who are dying without knowing Jesus, and it's so hard, it breaks my heart to think about it, that eternal gift of life that Jesus died to give, many people are dying and missing. Every day, it's that important. God loves his people so much that he doesn't want people to be perishing. He's preparing a place for each and every one of us to come home. And so as we walk in that love, as we walk with Jesus, and because he first loved us, we can love others, that love starts to pour out. People see that hope, not just through our words, but through our actions. We have to put our money where our mouth is, living with Jesus and letting that love flow out into our actions. So what can that look like? We can't just go up to everyone and say, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and they're going to accept Jesus. There's not a black and white way to share faith. So what does it look like practically? And a few weeks ago, our youth had an opportunity to go down to Columbus, Ohio, to a program called City Challenge, where they got a chance to go out and to serve others, to pray for people, and to share the faith with others in various ways. And so we have a few guys who are willing to share today, if you guys want to come up, just some ways that they got to practically share their faith, whether it was through words or through actions. And there's some things I think we could take back and do here as well. So you guys, you don't have an order. Whoever would like to go first, just share some ways that we can practically share our faith.
So I know for me especially, sharing your faith has been a struggle. Through City Challenge, that kind of became easier. We did what was called Prayer Challenge. We were all split up into groups, and we went out in the city for a day and prayed for people and did things for people. And Kirk and I were in the same pod. I know we both agree that throughout the day, it got a lot easier. We were kind of reluctant because we didn't want to get rejected. And I think our group was the most rejected. So after getting rejected so much in the beginning, it just got easier to go up to people and talk to them. We met a lot of great people. And yeah, just sharing your faith becomes so much easier once you're used to the rejection. Yeah.
So a particular story that Keegan asked me to share was part of the outreach we did was we would go, it wasn't exactly the prayer challenge, but we'd go on a prayer walk or way other way around. It was a prayer challenge where you go out and you ask people, introduce yourself, say who you're on behalf of, and ask if you can just pray for them. And my group, we split into two people each, and I got to, it's another person from my pod, meet the guy. He was a Muslim guy named Uli Allah, and he was really just kind of a really vibrant guy. And we started talking, and you know, we came to a lot of points of agreement on religion and God and his religion. And you know, he was like, all right, well, you know, you're gonna pray for me. I'm like, yeah. So I prayed for him, and as many as you know, like in my prayer, I refer to God as Father because you know, he's God the Father. And he came to me. He was like, you know, why do you call God Father? He's God. He's not your dad. And so that was a little bit interesting. We kind of like went back and forth in that, explaining each other his points of view. But in the end, we met. In this place was that God is the center of it all, and through everything good, it comes from God, and we are all that we are because of God. So that was pretty cool to with someone of a completely different religion, come to such a critical point of agreement. And a separate thing, as many of you saw, that a lot of us got baptized from our group, and just why that was important to me was I was baptized 10 years ago, or not 10 years ago, when I was 10 years old at a different church. And since then, you know, I've dealt with things I never thought I could deal with and overcome things I never thought I could overcome. And I just kind of want to make that commitment to this church because it's not what I consider my church.
During prayer challenge, we walked around the city and prayed for the homeless and for a lot of the churches that were in the city. And I remember meeting this one homeless guy. His name was Robert. I think he was...
Wasn't he a veteran?
Yeah. And he actually preached to us about God's word and, like, how different ways we can spread it. And he was definitely a believer in the Lord. And my favorite part was probably when we prayed for this one homeless lady and when... We went up to her and we asked her for prayer, and she was like, yeah, I forget what her prayer request was, but we prayed for her, and as soon as we got done, she had the biggest smile on her face, and it was just, like, you could tell that made her day, and yeah.
Thanks, guys, for sharing that. Yeah, that's just like great. So that was a little bit out of the ordinary. They went out, purposely went out of the walk to find people to pray for and ask them if they would like prayer for anything. But those type of conversations are things that can come up in our daily lives, just with talking with our neighbors, with people we work with, things like that. And just asking people to, if they'd like prayer, like Grayson said, you might get rejected a lot, and that's awkward, and it's, kind of, like I said, awkward, just feels weird, but we think about that. It's the simplest act of love we can do for someone. Say, look, I want to pray for you. I want to go to God, my Father. They might not believe in him, but I believe in him, and I want to go to him for you just on your behalf, and show an act of love that way. So yeah, that was really cool. Like I said, that was a kind of a special thing they did purposely, which we can certainly do, but also those type of conversations could come up every day with people that God puts into our lives that we get to encounter. So thanks again, guys, for sharing that opportunity you had. And it wasn't a clean cut, really pretty, like, oh, we shared the gospel with someone, he got down on his knees right there, accepted him, we went and baptized him. But little glimpses of love were showed to those people. And I think God will honor that faithfulness. And hopefully more people will go and water those seeds that were planted. So yeah, thank you guys for sharing. So the next thing I would like to look at is some ways that Jesus shared his faith. So it talks about in Hebrews how Jesus, like, endured the cross knowing what was set before him, that he would make the way for people to come home and that he would sit at the right hand of the Father once again. He knew that. He had faith. He didn't see it, but he knew that once his job here, once what he came for was completed, he would get to sit at the right hand of the Father at the end, and that he would bring many sons to glory, many sons to the Father, make a way for them to come home. So for that in a way was Jesus sharing his faith. Where he knew he was going, he shared that with those around him. And one of my favorite ways, favorite passages in Scripture where Jesus shared his faith, again, is this, not just the unbelievers, but these are to his disciples, those who had been following him through his 3 years of ministry, and he still shared his faith with them. So this is in John 13, 3-8. So Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he knew where he'd come from and he knew where he was going. That was his faith. That was what Jesus was sharing with his disciples. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. So Jesus knew things were about to come to a close. He knew he only had a faith before he was going to go and complete what he'd come for. And so this was something so important that he did in his last few hours that he had with his disciples. This was extremely important to Jesus, this example he wanted to set to for his disciples and for us. So he wrapped this towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And so many of you know, just to try and get a picture of what was going on here, many of you know, I had the opportunity to go and serve in India for 6 months a while ago. And there, I kind of started to get a better picture for what, how dirty people's feet got. So there, I think it was a lot like in Bible times, there was like cows, sheep, chickens, everything roamed the streets. There's like raw sewage running just in these little gutters beside the streets. And it's pretty filthy. Like most people there just wear sandals even today. Most people don't have like closed shoes, they're sandals and things. So you're walking through all that mess and your feet get really dirty. They're not just like a little dusty or whatever, have lint from your socks. They're downright filthy. And Jesus, the Son of God, the one who we serve and love and adore, he wrapped around. He came from heaven to earth and smelled people. Like literally, we don't smell good all the time. Most of the time we don't. And he came and was willing to serve, to do what the lowliest of low servants do. Not even all slaves would wash people's feet. There are a lot of slaves that were above that status that wouldn't wash others' feet. This was the lowest of the low slaves, the bottom of the bottom, would normally wash people's feet. And Jesus didn't count himself, he was the Son of God, the King of Kings, and he didn't count it as below him to wash his disciples' feet, to get down and smell the just the real, like Ben says, to get down and smell people, and like, and it's not always pleasant. But he did that because he loved them so much, and he wanted to set an example to kind of hit them in the pride and say, look, if I'm your master and I do this, none of you are above this. None of you are above serving your brother and sister. So yeah, after that, he poured water in the basin, began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. And no, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. So the Peter, he understood this. He knew that the lowest of low slaves was the only ones that would wash people's feet. And so he's like, Lord, no, don't do this to me. That's humiliating to you. You don't do this. I should wash your feet. But Jesus said, no, I need to do this. I need to set this example. You need to let this happen. And unless you let me do this, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. You have to let me do this example to serve you. Because Jesus was showing that example that he had to serve us. He had to go and die on the cross. Humble himself to do that so that we could come to him. So if Jesus just came and lived as that king and didn't sacrifice himself, we would still need to have something to cover that penalty for sins. So Jesus was kind of foreshadowing that, saying, look, I need to do this. You need to let me do this. So when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. So I can just imagine this. These disciples around, like, what is Jesus doing here? After Peter spoke up, the rest didn't dare to question him, but they were wondering, why is he washing our feet? Why is he doing this? So he asked them, and he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. So that no task is below you now. I just did the lowest task, and I'm your master, so if I did that, it's not below you either. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So in this, about sharing our faith and going out and showing Jesus, showing that way that Jesus made, that God made for us to come home to him and spend eternity with him in heaven, and that perfect home that he's prepared for us. And so to show love often means serving. It's not just saying, "Hey, I love you," and when someone's in this just deep pit, needs help with something, like their mother just died, or their father just died, or some tragedy just happened, say, "Hey, I love you," and then walk away and not show any, don't put your money where your mouth is, and actually stand beside them, walk through them, through the mess, and through the suffering, and through the pain, and the hard times. That's not really showing love. It's saying that we love you, but it's not putting our money where our mouth is. And so Jesus took away any excuses we have to serve other people. He was like, "Look, I'm going to do the lowest task there is, so nothing is going to be too low for you now. Because I'm your master, I'm above you, but I'm doing even the lowest task there is on the face of the planet. And so nothing's below you to go and show my love to others. I love you all so much, I'm willing to die for you, I'm willing to smell your mess and to clean you up. Go and do the same to each other." This is that example Jesus sent. He was like, he could have come as a king. We all know that. He could have come with his armies of angels, but he didn't. He came as a child, as a baby, and then he went and served others. He didn't rule in the castle and had make people come to him. He went to where people were. He went and smelled them where they were in their mess. And he told us to go and do the same, and took away any excuses we have from serving people, from taking out trash for our neighbors, from going and watching people's kids and changing their diapers and dealing with all the messes, walking with people through losses of loved ones. Nothing's below us because our master did that for us and set that example because he loved us so much and he wants us to spend eternity with him. We don't have anything to offer him, but he created us and loved us so much he wants us to be with him. And he made that way happen. And it's so sad that people are still dying and going to hell when there's a way for them to come to heaven that was paid at such a high price that the Son of the one true God died for them. And people are still perishing. So that's why Jesus said in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way to escape that, to go to get home. And Jesus made that way for his people. So yeah, that's why it was so important. All of it comes down to that love. Like, it's sounds so cheesy and simple, but if we do anything without love, people can smell that. They can sense that we're just trying to get God points. We're just trying to look good or feel good about ourselves. We want to tell people about our Lord and Savior because we're supposed to do that, I guess, at church. And if I want to get into heaven, I better have enough points when the day comes. People can sense that. A lot of times, even I have been guilty of that subconsciously, not even thinking about it, that, oh, I was just doing something because I had to. And that has no value in eternity. God's like, "I want your heart. I want you to love me. I first loved you, and so you can love me and you can love others because of that." And people will sense that authenticity. Sense that love when we share our faith with them and do acts of kindness and love to them when it's truly in love that's from the Father. We can sense and smell that difference. We know when something's authentic and when it's a show put on. And others know that too. So this is, I probably say this like every week at youth group, so people are probably, nobody knows what my favorite verse in Scripture is, but this is one of my favorite chapters and passages in Scripture, where this is Paul. He's talking about how he's been freed from his sin and from his chains in Jesus. And he talks about what he does in that with that freedom. And it's pretty amazing. Like, he's free from that bondage of sin and death, and he goes and makes himself a slave to everyone else. So we'll read through that in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. So though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So Paul, walking in this freedom in Christ, that he's no longer slave to sin and death because of what Jesus did. He knows where he's going because he's believed in Jesus and he's walked with him. He said, I've made myself a slave to everyone. And we'll see what he means as we read through this. It says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. So that's a lot of talk, but what Paul's saying is to the Jew, to the people who were descendants of Abraham and Moses, all those fathers of the faith, I became as them. I studied their scripture. I spoke to them as a Jew. I spoke to them the language they would understand. I spoke to them in their context, in the way that they lived. I used examples of Moses. I used examples of Abraham because they understood that. That's their daily life. That's what they talk about every week at synagogue. So starting with those fathers, I explained Jesus to them. I lived life the way they lived it so that I would have credibility among them. They would understand where I'm coming from and I'd have credibility and they'd believe what I was saying. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. And this is real important. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. So those Gentiles, those who weren't the Jews who grew up with hearing about Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those fathers, he's like, well, that won't do any good if I start with something they don't understand, they've never heard of before. So I'll talk to them in language they understand. I'll live life the way they do. I'll go, instead of going to synagogue on Sunday, I'll go to where they hang out and speak about Jesus to them there. I lived life the way they lived so that they could see Jesus through me. And to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. So Paul, who's free, he's free from the law. He's free from sin, from the penalty of sin. So he is no longer slave to that guilt and that sin that so easily besets us. But then he goes and makes himself slave to other people. Instead of walking in his preference, living life the way he wants to, hanging out where he wants to hang out, going to the synagogue where he wants to go, he went where the people were who hadn't heard of Jesus. He went to the people who needed the Savior, need to know Jesus and that he's the way to heaven. And he lived life the way that they lived it, not the way he wanted to, the way they lived it so that they could relate to him, so that he wasn't some foreign guy coming in that they just, they're like, well, he believes in Jesus, but Jesus is some different God that's not relatable. I don't understand. But when he lived life the way they lived it, they could understand, like, oh, okay, I know this guy, like, I trust him. And then he's telling me about Jesus and they'll listen more. They'll be able to relate to that. And so Paul, so to speak, washed the feet of those people around him. He laid aside his own personal preferences, the way he wanted to live life, and lived his entire life the way those around him did. Not forsaking Jesus, not going out and sinning and walking in sin, but he lived in the neutral ways, the ways that weren't against God, the way that people would just do things differently. He lived the way the people he was talking to lived so that he would have credibility and they could see Jesus through the way he lived and walked. I think that's a big way that we can wash each other's feet. When we lay aside our preferences, like they always talked about in the mission agency I went through, the REACH program, they talk about when you go overseas, the big sports over there are football or soccer. And so pick a soccer team. That way, just have a way to relate to people, to talk about something that everybody goes and watch soccer games every night. And so you'll have something, some way to start conversations and some way that they'll start to relate to you and trust what you say. And so here there's, we have lots of other examples. There's American football. There's soccer here taking off. Just whatever people are doing around you, that there's something that's neutral that you can get involved with, that people will, get to know you more and start to understand who you are. That's that act of love, that serving dying to ourselves, putting aside that our own preferences, and living the way those around us do, not sinfully, but in just in the neutral things they do, so that we can, by all means, we can reach as save as many as we possibly can. And I think that's part of what Jesus was saying when he was set that example of washing his disciples' feet, was that nothing's below us. Go and lay aside our preferences and serve those around us. And in that way, we'll show the love that Jesus poured out to us. It'll flow out through us that we can serve those around us because he first loved us. And they'll see Jesus practically and through our words talking about Jesus as the Son of God. And they'll gain that salvation that God paid the highest price for to win for us. Like we said in the beginning, everything comes down to love. And it sounds, at least to me, it kind of sounds cheesy, but if we do anything without love, like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, it's like a clanging cymbal. It has no value. So first, in order to be effective in any way for the gospel, we have to be in love with Jesus. We have to be living every day in that love that God poured out for us. And so I don't know where we are today, but if you're down and out in a tough situation and just having a hard time feeling God's love for you today, our elders and myself, any one of us would love to pray for you and to walk with you through that. If you're struggling, don't know how to reach brothers and sisters around you that you're around every day, and you want to show the love of Christ to them and you don't know how, go to Jesus and ask for wisdom. He'll give that to you because he loves his people so much. He came to smell us, to be with us in our mess, and to make a way for us to come to heaven. So if we ask for wisdom to save people, to bring them to him, he'll grant that. And so come to him. We'd love to walk with you through that. Yeah, we know that Jesus loves us all. He loves you, and we love you, and we want to walk with you through whatever you're going through, because if we're not walking in Jesus' love, we can't share it to those around us. So that's where that starts.